Welcome to the Christian Gospel Center. We believe you are about to be impacted by this message of faith and hope. If there is anything that we can do to help you get connected into the church, or if you'd like more information about who we are, please head to thegospelcenter.com.
You know, every time I get ready to deliver a message, I just honestly thank God for what He's made me and what He's making me into. When we look at all our backgrounds, really, we were nobodies. We were nothing. We may have had a position in our employment. We may have had a position in a family situation. We may have had a position, if you like, in an organization or even a church. But God is the one who's actually made us all. The Bible says that He knitted us together in our mother's womb. But God, in His grace, God, in His mercy, drew you to Him. And aren't you glad that as He drew you to Him, you answered His call, you became obedient to His call, and you continue to be obedient to His call. Amen? I want you, if you've got your Bibles this morning, to open up to the book of Joshua. Joshua chapter 3. I've been sharing a bit over the last few weeks about, you know, what God's been showing me and what He's been revealing to me in my heart and in my dream time and in my waking dream time. And I just hope that this morning I can relay a little bit more to you. We know the story that the children of Israel have been brought out of Egypt and they're heading towards the promised land, and for 40 years they've been wandering in the wilderness, and God had never stopped being their provider. He was always their provider. He provided, you know, cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night, and He provided food for them and water for them and the wood to cook their meals, and, you know, just an amazing, amazing provision. Like, can you imagine your clothes not wearing out after 40 years, and the sandals you wore, walking through a wilderness situation that just didn't wear out, they just lasted. And Moses dies, the Bible begins in Joshua chapter 1, and God begins to speak the same vision that He spoke into Moses about this land of promise, this land of more than enough. And He says, Joshua, you're the next man in line, but your job is to take these people across this river Jordan. And if Joshua was anything like me, he'd be going, thank you God, but how am I going to do it? Thank you, God, that I'm not like Moses. Thank you, God, I can never do what Moses did, but if You've chosen me, Lord, then here I am. You know my heart's been hungry over the 40 years. You know I've been a faithful follower of just not Moses, but I've been following after You, God. I've lingered at the tent of the meeting place. I've climbed halfway up the mountain. When Moses said, you can't come with me, I got halfway and I waited because I didn't want to get caught up with what was happening down below. You know my heart, God, but I'm not so confident about my resources. And God gets him to this place where He's preparing the people to cross that boundary line, that division, that point of no return. That point of saying, we've seen enough of wilderness, we're now going to step into that land of promise. We're going to step into that place that we've talked so much about. We're going to step into that place where the hazards of the wilderness are no longer ours, but the pleasures of the land flowing with milk and honey is something we can enjoy. And so in chapter 3, end of chapter 2, but heading into chapter 3 this morning, I like the heart of Joshua. He's my sort of man. He rises early in the morning. Must have been a dairy farmer. Joshua rose early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to the Jordan, he and all the Israelites, and lodged there before passing over. I want you to see the picture right here now, that this is about God taking all the people into the land of promise. It's not leaving some behind, you know. We have the advance guard, we have the right flank and the left flank, we have the rear guard that can follow our back. God wants all the people of promise to enter into what he's got promised. I know I'm reading between the lines, but this is what God reveals to me. After 3 days, the officers went through the camp. Now, here in the excitement of the promise of crossing over, the immediate is not immediate. If I just read the opening verse, I would have gone, great, we're going to have a good night's sleep, tomorrow we're going over. Doesn't it seem like that sometimes with the promise that God has given you? That he's given you the promise and you're going to get it within an instant. Amen? Can I hear an amen? How many of you asked for something, God's given it to you the instant you've asked for it? How many times, more often than not, it comes down the track? These people have wandered for 40 years. There's only two people left out of the original exit of Egypt that are there to witness the crossing over. But the stories have been told. Joshua and Caleb, they're still with us. They came back with such a good report. They talked about this land flowing with milk and honey. They talked about giant people where they said, we look like giants in their eyes, but Joshua and Caleb said, we can still take this land. We've heard the stories through the generations, and now we're about to cross over, and it takes 3 days. I'd be going, come on, God, can we go now? Come on, God, can we get over? After 3 days, the officers went through the camp, commanding the people. When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God being borne by the Levitical priests, set out from where you are and follow it. Where's the command come from? God. Through the leadership, through the delegated authority, and into the hearts of some of the people. All of the people. God's plan is to take people of vision into the fullness and the fulfillment of the vision. Follow. Follow what I've given you, it's saying. Yet a space must be kept between you and it, about 2,000 cubits of measure. Come not near it, that you may be able to see the ark and know the way you must go, for you have not passed this way before. You know, when I came into full-time ministry to lead this church, that was one of the profound scriptures that God laid on my heart. That as the Joshua anointing settled in my heart, that I took on the responsibility to lead you, his people. These are one of the scriptures that God expressly put on my heart to emphasize me that, like Moses, I stutter, I stammer, I got low education, nobody really looks to me for attention, but God in my life makes a difference. Amen? Know the way you must go, for you have not passed this way before. And Joshua said to the people, sanctify yourselves, that is, to separate yourselves for a special holy purpose, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders for me. God's favor and blessing is for all who are prepared to follow his instructions. Time and time again, I talk to leaders of not just churches, but organizations, that God is the giver of visions into the heart of one man or one woman to take that vision to the others involved in that group and to impart that vision so that they can lay hold of it and it becomes their vision. Now, I can imagine some of these people in all of the children of Israel saying, well, we've been near this place before. I've heard the promises before. My great-great-grandpappy told me that Moses was going to take us across the Jordan, and we're still on this side of it. There'd be others that'd be just busting to get involved. Why do we have to wait? Can't we go now? Let's get our gear together. Let's do it. Let's not wait for the priests. Let's not wait for Joshua. Let's just go. God has a specific plan, and he has a specific time for what he wants to do. He made them wait 3 days. He made the word get through the camp to make sure you stay a distance away from the Ark of the Covenant. Make sure you stay a distance away so you can see but not get too close. And when you see the priests move, you follow. Amen? Sanctify yourselves. What a word to speak to the people. You imagine me sending you a text message, ringing you up, sending you an email, dropping a letter in your letterbox, sending a pigeon with a little note around his leg. Sanctify yourselves. Get ready for your tomorrow. And across this group of people, how many would you have the same attitude as Joshua had? It's going to happen. We need to be ready. How many of you would just go, oh yeah, oh, pastor dreaming his dreams again. What's God going to do that he can't already do? What's God going to do through Pastor Lou that he can't do through me? I'm being real here. Because this is a mass of people, and even this is in this small gathering of people, there's a variety of emotions, there's a variety of thoughts, there's a variety of receptiveness to what the word of the Lord would say. And in so many ways, we're no different to these children of Israel. Heard the stories all before, Pastor Lou. Heard the dreams. Being part of the vision. Here we are, nearly 40 years as a church. And what has God really done? Stop and look. Stop and remember. Stop and think about what God has not only done in your life over 40 years, for those who are over 40. Think what he's done in the history of this church. Think what he's done in and through this property. Think the plans he's got for it. Amen? Let's not stop, otherwise we'll still be here for our night service. Sanctify yourselves. Separate yourselves for a special holy purpose, the Amplified says. For tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. God's such an inclusive God. Joshua said to the priests, verse 6, take up the Ark of the Covenant and pass over before the people. And they took it up and went on before the people. And the Lord said to Joshua, this day I will what? Begin to magnify you in all the sight of Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. Now, I'm not setting myself up on a pedestal here. Don't hear that at all. But can I emphasize, God gives a vision to a man, to a woman in leadership, and he says to the bulk of the people, get behind this person. It's my vision. Lay hold of it. Make it your vision and go with them. At the end of the service, I'm going to ask you to get all your checkbooks out and write out a check for me. No, I'm not. Verse 8, you shall command the priests who bear the Ark of the Covenant. Notice this. Joshua the leader. Priesthood serving under that leadership. Priesthood serving down to the people out of that leadership. All from heaven. When you come to the brink of the waters of the Jordan, you shall stand still in the Jordan. Joshua said to the Israelites, come near, hear the words of the Lord, my God. Your God. Again, can you see the inclusiveness of God and his people? Can you see how God wants all of his people to be involved in ministry? That we've got to get out of our heads that being a Christian doesn't just mean we come to church on Sunday and when we die we go to heaven. God didn't make a promise to Joshua and Caleb, you're going to be the only two that cross over. He said, whoever is prepared to follow in the vision that I've laid upon your heart, that you've seen with your eyes, that you've tasted with your mouth, that you've heard with your ears, that you've now portrayed and cast into the people of Israel, that vision will be theirs if they're prepared to cross over that dividing line. So it is with us. Joshua said, verse 10, "Hereby you shall know that the living God is among you, that he will surely drive out from before you the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hivites, the Perizzites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, the Jebusites, and all the other Amalekites and all those. Behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth is passing over before you and into the Jordan. So now take 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one from each tribe. When the soles of the feet of the priests who bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth shall rest in the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan coming down from above shall be cut off, and they shall stand in one heap." Sounds like a promise. Did they all hear that audible voice of God? Did they hear the audible voice of their leader, Joshua? The answer is yes to the second one. God didn't speak directly to all the people about what to do. He spoke through the leadership into the hearts of the people for them to choose what they would do at that given point. It sounds like a huge impossible task, doesn't it? Because we know the river's in flood. We know the River Jordan has burst its banks. We know it's looking a pretty ugly scene. And we've seen on the news over the last few days what water damage can do in the northern parts of New South Wales and the southern parts of Queensland. If you've ever had anything to do with floods, you know the damage that can be done. And God wants us to step into that. Think about it. You might have exactly those thoughts. My children, my little ones, my goats, my sheep, my camels, they're not going to survive. Joshua thinks he can make the waters stand up. Verse 14. "So when the people set out from their tents to pass over the Jordan, when the priests bearing the ark of the covenant before the people, and then when those who bore the ark had come to the Jordan, and the feet of the priests bearing the ark were in the brink of the water, for the Jordan overflows all of its banks throughout the time of harvest. Then the waters came, which come down from above, stood and rose up in a heap far off at Adam, the city that is beside Zarethan. And those flowing down toward the Sea of Arabah, the salt or the Dead Sea, were wholly cut off, and the people passed over opposite Jericho." Verse 17, "And while all Israel passed on over on dry land, the priests who bore the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm." They stood what? Firm on dry ground in the midst of the Jordan until most of the people had crossed over. All the nation finished passing over the Jordan. As I'm pondering and meditating over this message this morning about our vision to enlarge, a time to enlarge, you know what God kept showing me? People standing on the edge. People with their feet just about in the water. People looking at that water. People looking at their surroundings. People looking at their past. People listening to the gossip that's going around them. People listening to other offended people about what's happened in their life. And forgetting to look over that Jordan and into that promise that God had given them. Remember Gideon? Hiding himself in a wine press. Hiding from the enemy, threshing grain. God gives him a one-on-one audience and says, "Gideon, this is my plan for you, oh mighty man of God, you mighty man of valor." He must have gone, "Who are you talking about?" And God raises up this mighty army to do what God wanted to do through Gideon. You get to people like Noah, I want you to build me an ark. No, a what? Because when it rains, man, you're going to have this boat big enough to carry not just you and your family, but every creature, male and female thereof. Say what? He's on the edge of a miracle. Gideon's on the edge of a miracle. Noah's on the edge of a miracle. Solomon was on the edge of a miracle. David was on the edge of a miracle. When you read the Bible, God's got men and women on the edge of something great. And he picks the most ordinary people, the people perhaps who are just bound up in things that are not totally godly, people who can drift off sideways because fear comes in, lust comes in, desire, self-pride comes in. But God still chooses them and says, okay, line up everyone that's going to be with you, dip your big toe in. But the water's cold, but it's flowing too fast. My children are too little. My family won't understand. And we all make up excuses not to step in and allow God's promise to fulfill us into that place of finish. It says when they were at the brink of the water, when they were at the very edge of that mighty River Jordan flooding, when the priest put his foot in, then God did what he promised he would do. I believe, friends, that you and I are on the brink, on the edge. We're right there now. River Jordan's not looking pretty. River Jordan's looking impossible to get across. Promised land seems further away than it did 40 years ago. But what has God promised? That he'll take care of the flood. He'll take care of the Hittites, the Jebusites, all the other problems that are involved in your life. He said, I'll take care of them. Put your foot in. Get ready. You've never been this way before, so you're not going to have to plan your plans based on what you did last time. What I love about God, what I absolutely love about God, he'll always come through on his promise. What are you seeing this morning? Another dreamy pastor that's got this amazing idea of us changing our community? That a band of 50 people can have an influence that'll flow through a region, a community, over a hill into a city? Dream on, Pastor Lou, dream on. Yes, I will. Because if I have a command of the Lord to do, I will do, and whoever chooses to follow can follow. I shared last week about the young girl we helped out with a food parcel, tattooed, pierced. But her heart was so soft and gentle towards what we had to offer and what we talked about. On the other end of Woolies Mall the other night, she calls out, Pastor Lou, can I see you? And runs down to meet me and thank me for what we'd done. The beauty of it is that it wasn't what I had done. I was only the delivery boy with Tony. It's what we did as a church to provide for her and her daughter and her two stepsons and her ex-partner. She says, I don't know whether you can help me, but I've locked myself out of my house. I ran at the Salvos. I left my purse with my keys in it at the Salvos. She doesn't drive, so she's walked from wherever she remembered back to Salvos, and they're closed. She said, I don't know who to ring. I don't know what to do. My phone's flat. I'm going home. I hopefully can break in. I'm going to call past the landlord, hopefully get a spare key. If not, in quiet, she said, I'm going to have to go back to my ex-partner and spend the night at his place. I don't want to do that. I said, well, surely the landlord will have a spare key. She goes, yeah, I think I've got the spare key. I said, well, I know as a landlord, if I give a spare key, I have a spare key, for whatever reason. So I said, look, if you get stuck, if you can't get in, if you can't get a spare key, here's the number of the local locksmith. Ring him. Tell him to come and pick your lock and I'll pay the bill. But you can't do that. I said, oh, yes, I can. If you tell him that Lou sent you and I'll take care of the bill, he'll be around there, he'll get you in. That was Tuesday night, I think. Might have been Wednesday night, doesn't matter. Friday afternoon, I get a phone call. Oops Security were the company that I referred this lady to. They went around, they sent their employee around to break into her house so she'd get her spare key, and gave her the bill for the job. Now, he's only the hireling, so he's done what he's told to do. The owners ring me up and they say, was this true that you sent her to us? I said, yep. Consider the bill paid. I said, pardon me? They said, we know some of the work you do in our community. We want to honour you by scrapping the bill. Meanwhile, she'd been in and wanted to part pay the bill herself so we wouldn't have to pay. Can you see the credibility that we as a church get, even though we're small in number, in moving towards the fulfillment of the vision that God's got for his house? Amen? Now quickly come with me to Ezekiel chapter 37, the story of the Valley of Dry Bones. God has got a plan for you. See the opening verse in Ezekiel 37, because this makes all the difference to what's going on in anyone's life. Ezekiel 37, verse 1. Ezekiel 37 and verse 1. It says, the hand of the Lord was upon me. How many in this house know that makes a difference in your life? When the hand of the Lord is upon you. Doesn't it make a difference? When you're trying to do something in your own strength, when you're trying to make it happen, if you're trying to get others to make it happen for you, it just doesn't work out the same, does it? I love this opening line. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. And he caused me to pass around about among them. And behold, there were very many human bones in the open valley or plain, and behold, they were very dry. And he said to me, son of man, can these bones live? Christian Gospel Center, can these dry bones live? Can they? Can you as an individual? Can you as a family? Can you as a family unit begin to come alive to what God's calling us to do as a house? Yes, of course we can, Pastor Lou. It's important. It's a great question, isn't it? God is saying to us, can you fulfill what I've called you to fulfill? And you should be up in your seat shouting, hallelujah, of course we can, praise the Lord. But we're not, are we? We're sitting quietly, we're nodding our heads, we're waiting to see what's going to happen, and we might join in, we might not. And I answer, man of God, prophet of the Lord, Ezekiel answered, O Lord God, you know. I sat down with our architect nearly 2 weeks ago. He said, you know this renovation's going to cost a lot of money, don't you? Yes, I do, John, but I want to know how much a lot of money is. A lot of money to you might be just petty cash for God. A lot of money for you might seem like a huge mountain to a church of 50 or 60 people. But there's a little factor, John. It's called but God. I said, we're not about to build a centre that's all about us. We're about to build a centre that's based on a community need that just happens to be the centre where God habitates. See, if the hand of the Lord's not upon this, I'm not building. the hand of the Lord's not upon us, why would I even dream expansion, not just in a building program, but in our ministry areas, our effectiveness in the community? Ooh. Verse 4. Again, he, God, said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, O you dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. You know, I stand in front of the mirror sometimes and I say words like that over me. Wake up, Pastor Lou. Listen to what God's saying. I'm seeing myself in the mirror. I'm saying, but Lord, it seems impossible. And he reminds me, nothing is impossible for him who believes. Amen? Come on. Am I in this alone? Am I the only one that has doubt sometimes that God can do what I'm asking him to do? Let's speak reality here. I have faith in my God. I believe on his word. But even the tiniest little seed of doubt can upset a day. God, I need this and I need it right now. Please. He goes, wait. Bang! And it took him a week. And I wanted it now. He loves me too much to spoil me. I love, again in this passage, the way God uses man to make things happen. How many know that God could have just clicked his finger, the valley of dry bones, but could have become the army? But he picks this man of God. He picks his anointed man. And he said, righto, Ezekiel, what do you see? God, I see exactly what you see. Valley full of dry bones. But God asks him the question, do you believe they can come to life? Well, hypothetically speaking, I can't find any cross reference in my Bible about it. Pretty slim. No, his response says, you know. But God takes him to the next level, the next step in the crossing over from what was dry and dead into something that's living and vital and useful. He speaks to Ezekiel and he said, you prophesy to these bones and you say to them, O you dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Verse 5, thus says the Lord God to these bones, behold, I will cause breath and spirit to enter you and you shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you and bring up flesh upon you and cover you with skin. And I will put breath and spirit in you, and you dry bones shall live, and you shall know, understand, and realize that I am the Lord, the sovereign ruler, who calls forth loyalty and obedient service. Verse 7. Man of God hears the word of the Lord and responds accordingly. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, when? As I prophesied, there was a thundering noise, and behold, a shaking and trembling and a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. And I looked, and behold, there were sinews upon the bones, and flesh came upon them, and skin covered them over, and there was no breath or spirit in them. Then God, he said to me, prophesy to the breath and to the spirit, son of man, and say to the breath and spirit, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath and spirit, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. You know, I sometimes think we live our Christian life like we're just like this valley of dry bones. That we've been slain, that we've perhaps even been wounded, perhaps we've been discouraged, perhaps we've just been put a bit off track, and we just lay down and we die. Somebody else can do it. I've had enough. Choose someone younger, God. I'm too old for this stuff. Find someone with money, God. I haven't got any. You know, you're prophesying death and gloom in your own life when you say words like that. You're nullifying promises of God. Apostle Paul said, my God shall supply what? He didn't say cash in the bank, did he? He didn't say food on the table, did he? He didn't say clothes on the back. He didn't say cars in your garage, fuel in your tank. What did he say? Oh, my God will supply all your needs. So when you speak over your own life, I don't have enough money to live, you're denying God the blessing of bringing that finance in for you to live. When you say, I'm feeling so sick, I don't think there's any cure, you're prophesying that sickness to stay in your body. When you're so fearful that you won't speak out when God says to you, I want to speak to that person, I want you to offer prayer to that person, you're denying God that authority to come through your life into the life of that other person and set them free. I've said again and again, we are a Word of Faith church. Word of Faith church says, even though I'm poor, then I'm made rich. When I'm weak, then I'm strong. Your bank balance may say you have nothing. My bank balance says the same most days. But do I live like I've got nothing? Do I speak like I've got nothing? There may be sickness racking through my body. You wouldn't know, because I'm not going to profess sickness on my body. I'm going to confess divine healing. This is the power that's in God's word, friends. This is why it's taken me so long to get this message out. Because every time I look into his word, he gives me more about a vision to take us out of a dry, horrible, bone-filled valley and into that land of promise just on the other side of that dry river. Notice I said it's a dry river. It looks to you like it's flooded. It looks to you like the banks are overflowing. It looks to you like it's impossible to get there. But didn't God say, I'll take care of it? All you need to do is put your foot in. I'm quiet. Let's read on. We're not finished. It's 5 minutes. Verse 10. So I prophesy as he commanded me. In the breath, the spirit, and into the bones, they lived and stood up upon their feet, an exceedingly great host. An exceedingly great host. The King James says, an exceeding great army. That's the way God sees you. An exceeding great army. You're not worms. You're not broken busted. You're not in such bad health you can't do what the Lord's calling you to do. But the Lord sees you as an exceeding great army coming forth. Coming forth in this culture. You think about the culture we're living in right now. You think about the stuff they're putting on into our faces on TV. You think about the words that they speak. You think about the language used. You think about your neighbours and the words they use. You think about the people you do business with. I went to do business with a local businessman the other day. I won't tell you what it was about because you'll know who they are. But the amount of times the F word came across that counter to me, and he knows who I am, he knows what I do for a job, and after number six I just stop. He went, pardon? I said, I used his name, wasn't a swear, I appreciate what you're telling me, but can you use other words other than that word? And what word? I said, I've counted six times in that very short sentence you've used the F word to me. And the shock and the horror that came upon his face when he realised It wasn't down the pub. It wasn't at the local footy club having beers for the boys. He was running his business, number one. He was talking to a CEO of a local company who was there to support him. And that CEO happened to be pastor of a local church. He was so apologetic. I could have let it go. I could have said, well, you've offended me, but I'm not going to take the offense. That's who you are. But I felt the Holy Spirit say to me, you're not going to win people to me if you don't stand on what you believe. Amen? You see, in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9, words of Peter to us says this. With me? 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. Make sure you got it. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people. Watch this. That you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. If there's nothing else you hear today, can you please hear that? That you, Christian Gospel Center, are a chosen generation for now. You are a royal priesthood together, priesthood of all believers. You've all got a role to play. You're a holy people, his own special people. Why? Answered right here. That you, Christian Gospel Center, may proclaim the praises of him. It doesn't say preach, but it says to praise on him, to brag on your God, to share in the goodness of your God, to tell other people about the miracles that have happened in your life, the provisions that have happened in your life, the deliverance you've had in your life, the healing you've had in your life, the just amazing way God has worked in you. That's what praises are all about. I don't go to a minister's group meeting and bag you people. Oh, I wish our church was like you. Goodness, my people. Gosh, we'd be doing right if we get 60 people on a Sunday. And worship, oh, they wouldn't know what worship was. Praise, well, they like to sing songs, but yeah, and they open their Bibles sometimes. No, that doesn't build God's house. I brag on you. We may only be 60 in numbers, but we're strong in the Spirit. We may only be 60 people in numbers, but we're going places with God. We only may be 60 people on a good day, but I tell you what, they're tithers. They bring their offerings to the Lord. They're financial givers into the King. They love the Word of God. They open their Bibles when I ask them to. They follow the Scripture through. They go away and tell their friends about it. Why do I do that? Because I know you all love God. I know that you've all got a place to play in the kingdom. But I love the way Peter says this. You're chosen. You're royal. You're holy. You're special. Why? So that you may do something with what you've been given. What is that? The ability to proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness and left you stranded. No, he didn't. He knew you were stranded in darkness. That's why he called you out. He didn't place you in a low place. He placed you in a high place. You're now seated with him, in heavenly places. Right now at the right hand of the Father. Right now, if you're in Christ, that's where you are. Amen? Into his marvelous light. He wants us to work in unity, as we shared last week. Psalm 133, where my people dwell in unity. There I command the blessing. What is it? What's the blessing? Life forevermore. That's a hard question, Pastor Lou. What better blessing that can you receive from the Lord except to be found in him, your life in him, forevermore? But it takes unity. It takes people working together. It takes people with the energy, the strength, the vision themselves to see the vision fulfilled. picture the oil that it talks about in Psalm 130 being poured onto Jesus, the head of the church. It flows down to everyone connected to him. Doesn't matter how far down the ladder you feel right now, if you're connected to him, that oil of anointing flows into you. You're feeling inadequate this morning, unable to do. His anointings are able to get to you and change you. Amen? Every one of us here this morning is anointed to accomplish what God has called us to do. Now come back to Joshua just quickly with me, and I'll close with this thought. Don't have to open your Bibles. Just figuratively seeing now, on the edge of the Jordan, right now, it's in flood, broken its banks. Trees and rocks are just tumbling down the river ahead of you. You've got your little children in hand. You've got your whole worldly possessions under your arm. You're wondering what's going to happen to your household. What's going to happen to your goods? What's going to happen to everything you own? You're wondering what's going to happen to your sandals. Do you keep them on? Do you take them off? Are you looking at that water this morning? Or are you looking beyond that water? Are you looking into that land of promise? Are you looking towards what God's got planned for you? Have you got looking towards that place where God can tap you on the shoulder and say, I want you to do this? And you say, yes, Lord, here I am. As for me and my house, Lord, we will serve the Lord. And I love, just as God parted the Red Sea for Moses, banks up that river, way up, way up. And they walk across on not soggy ground, not mushy, rock-covered, horrible, but it says they crossed over on dry ground. But wait, there's more. They get to the other side and they see Jericho, the most fortified city in the region. Oh my goodness, you've done that. You see, we all see it from different perspectives. Joshua had it so implanted in his heart that he was going across that river, whether it was in flood or not. I'm sure if he'd said to God, if we need to walk on top of that flood water, then God, you'll make it happen. God didn't promise that. He said, I'll hold back the water. God didn't say, once you get in the land of milk and honey, everything is going to flow free. It's going to be easy pickings. Just walk on through. It took 7 days of walking to get around that wall of Jericho before it came down. Day one, nothing happened. Day two, nothing happened. Day three, I've had enough walking, I'm sitting down. You can go. You can go. I'm stoned. Day four, perhaps a little bit more, you know, uneasiness. What do you see? See all those people up on the wall? They're looking at me. They're not looking very friendly. Come on, God. Day five now. Can't we at least have a prayer meeting? Can't we at least have a praise session? Can't we at least stamp our feet, clap our hands, wolf whistle them, hiss at them? Day seven. I've seen it for 6 days. I've been on the edge of another miracle. Right on the edge. Day seven. A bit like the day of Pentecost, I think. I've had enough. Doesn't happen today. I'm going home. I'll go fishing down the Jordan. There might be some good fish down there. What does God do? He takes them over the edge into the next level of promise. Day seven, the walls come tumbling down. I would love to see actual footage of that, not just man-made impression, and actually see those walls tumbling down. Dust, pebbles, rocks, bodies, gone. They walked in and they took the next level of promise. I know God's not going to give us the whole lot in one big downfall. What he's asking us to do as a church is to begin to work together. To put our hands up and say, I'm in for this. I might not be financial, but I see the vision to serve in the house. I see the vision to help out. I see the vision to take the work off that group and help them by supporting them. I see that person struggling, so I'm going to come alongside that person and help them. And bit by bit, that unity that Psalm 133 talks about comes into fruition. When my people dwell in unity. Where my people dwell in unity. There. Right there in that place of unity, God commands the blessing. Life evermore. You can sit and wait for Jesus to come back. You can say, well, when I die, I'm going to heaven. I'm looking forward to that. Rah, 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 rah. God's plan is for his church to be expanding, growing, enlarging, and impacting. We'll talk about that again next week. Week 4 of Vision. Amen? Shall we pray?